Hey y'all, welcome back to Surviving Me. I'm your host Day, and this is the podcast where survival meets self-discovery. Today's episode is special because it's real in every sense of the word. I'm joined by Ashley, a woman who wears strength, softness, and motherhood all at once, and does it with so much honesty. Also, disclaimer, you might hear her little one Mirror in the background, and listen, we're not editing that out. Ashley is a mother with a capital M, and this is a reminder that healing, storytelling, and showing up for yourself often happens in the middle of life, not outside of it. So, this episode is raw, it's reflective, and it's full of grace. Today's diary entry is one so many of us know too well. Falling in love with someone's potential, not who they are right now, but who they could be if they are healed, if they stepped up, if they grew. And today's guest is here to unpack her story and what she learned, what it cost her, and why she had to stop waiting for someone to change. So without further ado, let me let them introduce themselves.
Hey, I'm Ash Marie, 38, from St. Louis.
Period. To start with, let's talk about fantasy versus the reality. So what made you fall for whoever this person is that we're talking about today? What made you fall for their potential?
I'm going to have to say, when you first meet somebody, okay, you're like, okay, I could see myself being with them, not even based off of like what they can do or how they gonna be, but it's more so like, you know, the physical first. Like, okay, he cute. I can see myself with him. Then it get into like the, you know, you're having the conversations and getting to know each other. So I guess the fact that we were kind of on the same like level as far as what we were trying to do, which was like create these businesses and not work for anybody. I guess you could say that was like the potential.
Got it. That makes sense. So did you see the signs early on that they wasn't ready, or did it unfold slowly as y'all progressed in the relationship?
You know what? I could probably say, I don't think it was no signs, but it's more so like, what was the question again? Because she just threw me off.
It's cool. Did you see the signs early on that they wasn't ready, or did it unfold slowly as the relationship progressed?
Okay, I'm going to say it unfolded, because in the beginning, granted, we don't really be looking for signs or tripping off signs, but I can say, so I was dealing with a dude. He got out of, basically my baby daddy, he got out of jail 2-3 years prior to me meeting him. And in my mind, you know, I'm just thinking like, okay, you still kind of new out here, you still getting to know the world, you still basically doing you. So I asked him and gave him the option, like, you know, you want to just be friends with benefits, or do you want a relationship? Right. Like, which is it? And then there comes, oh, what is your definition of a relationship? Or no, not a relationship, but the friends with benefits. And I'm like, okay, well, or if I'm out with Shine and, you know, you want to link up with me and you call up, hey, say, I want to come over, I want to go out, whatever it is you're trying to do, but you want to link. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. You just let me finish up with Shine and then I'm going to call you, let you know, when we're done. And he didn't agree with that. So that's where the relationship part came from.
Didn't see the sign?
No, no.
Let's be real, though. I mean, sometimes some relationships, the signs be just there. Like, you just know. Like, it be signs you see, but you just ignore them. Like that all the time. Like, sometimes you truly don't be seeing them. Like, and then it just kind of happens.
So I can see it over time.
Exactly. Now, how do you think your own emotional needs shaped how long you stayed in that situation?
I'm going to have to say, I don't know, I probably was ignored it or didn't really want to trip off of it, because I was in a relationship with the Chicago guy. I was with my first baby daddy, like, I can know him from 2015 all the way up until now. So I'm going to say I was just got out of something like 3-4 years with the other guy. So, and you know, I had just lost my baby and all the other stuff. So, like, I kind of already was emotional. So then it was like, okay, I got somebody that's kind of helped me get over him. So I don't know. It helped me. Emotionally, I wanted him, it to be him. I guess I overlooked a lot of stuff because emotionally I loved him. And I was like, I don't know.
No, I get
Him helping me get over the other guy, if that makes sense.
So he kind of was like a rebound in a sense.
Pretty much. But I wanted it to be more than a rebound. Like once I really started like feeling like
him. Right. What did it feel like when you realized like this person wasn't going to change?
Ooh. You say, what did it feel like?
Yeah.
And it was like, here we go again. Here we go with this shit. I gotta start over. Shit, I was mad. Mad as hell. Because I don't know, I'm an Aquarius, and it's like when we get in relationships, we like to be in long-term relationships. Right. Like, I don't like to just hop from this person to that person to that person. Right. Like once I'm on you, I'm on you. Once I'm with you, I'm with you. And like my mentality be like, I'm ready to go there, which I'm ready to be, which I'm ready to like, you know, start
taking the whole way.
I be envisioning shit in my head. Like, if you come messing up a plan.
No, for real. Yeah. Like, because, I mean, if we're being honest, nobody likes starting over. Like, that would be a burnout to
that
me.
Part.
Like, oh, now I got to learn somebody all over. They got to learn me. Like, it just be a lot.
Especially when I'm off this stage, like I'm in this space where okay, I'm ready to settle down, I'm ready to be one person, I'm ready to have a baby, you know, more kids and this and the third, and I'm off my whole phase, and then it don't work out, and it's like, damn, I don't want to go back to my whole phase. Like I don't ever want to talk to a bunch of niggas again.
No, so, yeah. For real, because it's really at a point in time, talking to a lot of people, it'd be cool in the beginning,
when you're younger.
But it get old. Like, you know, it get old.
Very quick. Mm-hmm.
And it be too much trying to, you know, deal with all them emotions.
Okay.
Men be in their feelings, y'all. Don't get it twisted.
They do.
Men be in their feelings.
They y'all act like they don't, but they do.
Okay. They be trying to act like they don't, but y'all be in your feelings. That's another topic for another day. So was it harder to let go of the person or the story you created in your head with this person?
Yes, because you know you already got. Well, I don't know about nobody else, but for me, like I already got this baby by him, and we plan on having more kids. You know, you already have it set up in your mind, like what you want for yourself. And for me, like I just had my first baby at 34. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like 34, 35 when I had my baby. And like in my mind, I was like, okay, I want my first baby to be about somebody else who also ain't got no kids. Mm-hmm. And then we just gonna, you know, keep building from there. My baby daddy ain't have no kids. So this is our first kid together. And we were supposed to have more. And then you just do
mess it all up.
And just, yeah, basically. And
so basically, I have to rewrite your whole story. So you still want to have more kids or... You just like, if it happened, it happened. If it don't, it don't.
I mean, I do, because I want my baby to be an only child. I want him to have siblings, because I grew up with three siblings. And, you know, my mama's house, she got four kids, but my daddy also had, like, nine kids. So, I got a lot of siblings. Mm-hmm. So, I had fun when I was a kid. I want my baby
Hello. And people don't understand. That's what I be saying. Like, having siblings have its benefits. Of course, they have its cons. Mm-hmm. But it also have its benefits, too. Like, ain't nothing like your siblings. I don't care what nobody say. Ain't nothing like your siblings.
At all. Nothing like it. Yeah, that's the plan. I wanted to have my babies with, you know, the one man that...
Yeah.
The first daddy. That was supposed to be my husband. That was supposed to be the other kid's spot. Like, I don't know. He just fucked it all up for me.
And it's annoying because they always try and mess up. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why men got to do things the hard way. Like, I just feel like everything is not like a you got to go through it to experience it type thing. Like, you don't have to do that with everything. Like, I understand some things you really do just got to go through it to understand. But certain situations, men, you don't have to go through it to understand. Like, losing somebody that you know y'all has to... You don't have to lose that person to understand what it feels like to lose them. Like, you know? That just makes no sense to me. I guess it's a man thing. Maybe I would never understand it. But, yeah, it just never makes sense to me. So, what did you learn about your own self-worth throughout that relationship?
I learned that I'm at this age and stage in my life. I ain't putting up no bullshit. So,
and
I mean... My peace is worth more than the bullshit you bring. So if I got to cut you off. Like, I don't know. My worth is very much so more important to me than anybody else's. So
okay, so you feel like it helped you further it a little bit. Like, it was already there, but now it was really there.
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, it just really gave me a no tolerance for bullshit now, even more so than anything. So,
period. And I totally understand that because, I mean, like you said, you had this whole... a vision of this with this man, And it's basically just head. Not mm-hmm. even, it's not even real. Like, it's not even here. And I could understand how that would make you feel like, you know what? You know, I ain't putting up with a whole bunch of shit next time.
Yeah. And that's the issue I'm having with these new people I'm meeting. I feel like they require too much out of me, want too much out of me. And it's like, I still consider myself, even though my baby is three, I consider myself as like a new time mother or a mother. Like entering this dating world with a kid, if that makes sense. Like,
no, it's hard.
It's hard for me.
Hard.
And I be telling dudes up front, like, I have a 3-year-old that takes all my time and attention. I don't answer phones. Like, I don't want on the phone all the time. I don't respond back fast. Like, don't expect that out of me. And these dudes, like,
they don't want to hear that.
Yeah. It gotta be about me. Well, they got a problem, and I guess you're talking to somebody else
because they're like, if you ain't talking to me, you got to be talking about I'm not talking to nobody.
It's your kids. Yeah. Like, you tending to your kid. You being a mother.
That's it. And that's why I be trying to tell people, like, honestly, during the day, you might not hear from me the whole day, but I'll hit you up at nighttime when he go to bed.
Okay, right. When he's, thank you. That's when we can, you can pull up, we can smoke, but you can't sit in here while my baby woke because I ain't got him. Don't be asking me who is this man and you just saw another person. Nope, I ain't dealing with it. No.
Period.
You can come up when my baby is asleep and we can smoke, period. We can talk, you can get your hug, whatever you need. That's it, that's all. But my baby woke,
No, like, it's just like, no, I can't company. And I be busy the whole day. Like, they be like, you really be busy the whole entire time. I really do. He wants something from the moment he wake up to the moment he closes his eyes. So
keep you busy. Yeah.
Okay. And I be having to find stuff to do. They don't. And it'd be crazy. You would think that they do, because a lot of the time you be talking to men with kids, but you know what? Everybody knows.
But they don't have them. If they don't have them 24/7, they don't understand.
That part, because it's different with the kids. I mean, with the dad co-parent, unless you just one of them dads where the mom just dropped that kid off to you, and that's just, you know, that's your thing. But a lot of the times, that's not the case.
To figure it out,
right? And that's not the case though. A lot of the time, it'd be just like, okay, the kid is with the mom most of the time, and you come and get them every now and again and whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's still not the same. It's still never the same. It's literally a double standard when it comes to dating, because men can still have a kid and still be co-parenting with their big mom, but still have enough time to date and stuff. I be trying to figure out where I'm going to get the time.
That point. Because I just feel like since I didn't have a baby, he consumes all of my time. Literally. And when he's not consuming it, or when he's sleeping, he's napping, I'm sorry, I be needing a piece of man to myself. I just need a mental break to myself.
That part.
Let me think to myself. Like, I don't want to be bothered.
Don't want to have to attend to your emotions enough, and I was just doing that all day.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. And I thought I was the only one, because I be texting people back slow as hell. Like, and I know people be like, damn, like, I know you be on your phone. And then they be messing it up, because just because I post something on Instagram don't mean I'm on my phone.
That part, that mean I'm scrolling, I'm taking a mental break, or I feel like, okay, this is my breather, let me scroll and do what the fuck I want to do for a second, and then I might call you.
They don't. These men, they be really needy on the low, and that's the story that people don't want to be talking about, but...
Oh, they are very much so needy.
They're like another kid, in a way.
That part, and that's what I said with being in a relationship, it's like, oh my God, you got to worry about your own kid. Then you got to turn around and worry about a grown-up's feelings and thoughts and needs and wants.
It's a lot.
It'd be too much. That's why I ain't got no animals. My son keep asking for a dog. Nope. Can't have it, because that's another kid. I don't want to be bothered. No.
Okay. It truly is. And I say, if you don't want it, don't do it, because I got a dog my damn self. And baby, I be hollering at both of them. I got two 2-year-olds, literally, at the same time. Like, baby, they be driving me up the wall. So... how do you spot the difference now between someone who is first? Wait, hold on, baby. What type of question is that? How do you spot the difference now between who? Okay, how do you spot the difference now between who someone is versus their potential?
I don't think you really can spot it, because you can meet somebody and they could portray to be one way and then turn out to be a whole nother way, you know, later on down the lines. It's just a matter of, when you coming in, like when I'm meeting you, when I'm getting to know you, the first sign of bullshit.
No, for real. That's at the red flags.
Yeah, you gotta go. Like, if you do one thing that I don't agree with, don't like, or make me feel uncomfortable, I'm cool on you. And that, to me, I feel like that saves me from all the extra bullshit you're gonna bring.
For sure. Oh, for sure. For sure. Ladies, noticing them red signs and leaving when you first see them is the best way to go. I know a lot of us be trying to be like, oh no, you know, maybe I can help him with that, or maybe that's something we could work out, baby. Nope. If that man don't want to change that, whatever it is, leave that man alone. Especially if you know that's not something you want to deal with or put up with, leave that man alone. Seriously.
That part.
Save yourself the hurt, okay? Save yourself
and
the hurt, okay? And the headache. Baby, just leave. So that was the end of... That was the last question for this episode.
Okay, and that is where we'll pause for now. But trust me, we are not done. In part two, Ashley opens up even more about what healing looks like when a mask comes off and a mirror is clear. If anything in today's episode spoke to you, take a moment to sit with it, breathe, reflect, maybe even send it to someone who's been where you are. Make sure you're following the podcast so you don't miss part two. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the Glow Letter on Substack for weekly notes to your healing self. Before we go, here's your reminder for today. You saw the good in them, the future version, the healed version, the maybe if they change version. But just because you loved who they could become doesn't mean you were wrong for hoping. Still, you deserve love that shows up now, not one that waits until it's convenient, not one that needs fixing before it can even hold you fully. You don't have to shrink to be loved. You don't have to wait to be chosen. Let this be the last time you pour endlessly into potential while you're left empty. You are worthy of love that meets you, not just admires you from a distance. Keep choosing you. Y'all know what I say. No matter what page of healing you're on, you're not alone and you're not behind. Keep going through it, keep growing through it, and keep glowing through it. And this is Surviving Me, where survival meets self-discovery. I'll meet you back here next week for part two.
I've battled the silence, I've wrestled the shame, faced all my demons and called them by name. This ain't for sure, it's deeper than deep. I'm surviving.